15 years ago, I was sitting in Starbucks, dressed like a priest. It probably didn't surprise you. Minding my own business, when a woman I did not know and never met approached me. She looked at me and asked me if I was a priest, and I owned that and said yes. And then she asked me, "Are you saved?" Just like that. Are you saved? Now, I've been Episcopalian all my life. And at that point in my life, 35 years of Episcopalness had taught me to do one thing. Look at her blankly and hope she goes away. It's a purely defensive move that now on the other side of the experience, I promise you, does not work. She just stood there, looking at my blank stare, knowing I did not have an answer for her. I found that I'm not comfortable being asked this question. I'm not comfortable with being asked this question for two reasons. Since I'm pretty sure I don't make the decision who is saved and who is not saved, the Bible is pretty clear that's Jesus' job. I don't spend much time thinking about it. And you all know my favorite saying, I use it probably 5 or 6 times a year in sermons, I'm in sales, I'm not in management, right? It's a good rule to live by, trust me. Okay, I'm in sales, I'm not in management. No one wants me in management. Let's put it that way. Okay. The other reason I don't like answering the question, are you saved, is because of the follow-up question. Because there's always a follow-up question. You see, are you saved is the bait. How do you know is the follow-up question. And how do you know, the follow-up question, is really a way of saying, are you sure? Which is really a way of saying, I don't think you are. And she was definitely projecting that in Starbucks that morning. How do you know is the same as prove to me God exists. How do any of us know? Well, today, let's find an answer to the question, are you saved? And more importantly, how we know. Are you saved? The answer is yes, you are saved. Even though I'm not in management, if you believe in Jesus Christ as God and that he died for you on the cross, you are saved. The Bible is clear about this, period, end of sentence. If anyone ever asks you that question, you just look them right in the eye. I'm telling you this, I know it's hard as an Episcopalian, look them right in the eye and say, yes, I am saved. It might make them go away. Not sure, I'm not going to guarantee it. So you might be wondering, well, what about people who do not believe in Jesus Christ? Where do they fall in all this? Because I get that sometimes. My answer, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. It's okay to say that. Once I found Jesus Christ, I stopped looking for the way to eternal life. I found it. And honestly, I've told Hindus, I've told a couple Muslims, I told a Jewish rabbi, Orthodox Jewish rabbi once, that I don't know. And they were not offended by that. In fact, they seemed incredibly refreshed by the fact I was sure and wasn't trying to project it on them. Which, as an Episcopalian, I promise you, I am not comfortable projecting it on other people. When Jesus met with Nicodemus in the Gospel of John, Jesus sees an opportunity. In the Gospel of John, more than in all the other Gospels combined, Jesus has a handful of what I'm going to call, okay, and stay with me, okay, this is where it gets a little bumpy, a handful of what I call theological themes that he uses, and once you know these theological themes, you will find the Gospel of John to be much clearer and actually somewhat fun to read. Very accessible. Two of those theological themes are, first, Jesus wants to make God known to all people. Okay? That is a theological theme. One of them in John is that Jesus wants to make God known to all people. And the second theme is that we will address today is what is Jesus' identity? Okay? Those are two of the themes. I know it sounds a little complicated. And so we're gonna do something we don't normally do. We're gonna dig deep, a little bit deeper than normal in the Gospel of John. I know sometimes I read from the Bible because I want to show this to you. Because once I show it to you, you're gonna be like, oh, I think. Okay, you might not be, and if that's true, you can tell me later. But Jesus is very direct all throughout the Gospel of John about making God known to everyone. He marches around all over the place for 3 years telling everyone, this is the kingdom of God. See the kingdom of God. I'm here to show you the kingdom of God. He is equally indirect at revealing his identity. Whenever someone asks him, who are you? He's like, let's talk about something else. I mean, it's very indirect, okay? And it's very purposeful. Nicodemus runs into both of these themes today. It's the perfect place to talk about them. Because he runs into both of these themes, becomes rather confused, and then ends up with more than he bargained for. So like I said, let's engage the text a little bit. Verse 2. I'm going to read it out to you. You're more than welcome to look in your bulletin. I had Barbara, the parish administrator, put the verse numbers in there. So if you want to follow along, you can. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. This is verse 2 of chapter 3. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. A teacher who has come from God. Nicodemus is asking, are you sent from God? So you can either say, maybe he's suggesting, are you a prophet? Maybe, are you the Messiah? It's probably not on Nicodemus's radar, are you the Son of God? Because that's blasphemy. And so Nicodemus is a leader of the Jews. He's probably not going to go there. But he's asking, are you a prophet or are you the Messiah? Of course, we know, because what's the second theological theme? Jesus is incredibly indirect about who he is. So Jesus wants to keep that sort of a mystery for now. We go to verse 3, Jesus' response. Jesus answered Nicodemus, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Jesus answers, if you want to see God, let me connect you with God. Then Nicodemus responds in verse 4. Nicodemus said to Jesus, how can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Okay, so we're going to pause there for a second, because this happens a lot in the Gospel of John. You kind of got to get used to this. Someone will ask Jesus a question, and you're kind of like, okay, that makes sense. But then he or her will come back with sort of a question that goes what I would call from odd to unbelievable. Right? So Nicodemus is like, how do you really get to know the kingdom of God? And Jesus responds with, well, you have to be born from above. That's kind of odd, right? I mean, that's kind of odd language. Okay. But then Nicodemus comes back, well, how do I get back into my mother's womb? That's unbelievable, right? Okay. That happens all throughout the Gospel of John. Just, it's fine. Okay. It's just unbelievable. Okay. And so you're like, is he being cynical? Is he being, a smart aleck? We don't really know. But if you feel like that's unbelievable, that's okay. Jesus just totally is unfazed by that. And he responds with verse 5. I promise you this is almost over. Unless you're having fun, and then we're going on for a while. Okay, so Jesus responds, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. Aha! Water and spirit. Now, as Episcopalians, now that's language we really like, right? Water and the spirit, right? So, look, water and the spirit is a recipe for what? You put those two things together and you get baptism. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for giving me the Episcopal answer, okay? So Jesus is teaching, if you want to be born from above, or as we are sometimes asked at Starbucks while minding our own business, are we born again? We need to ask. We need to interact with God through water and the Holy Spirit. That is the answer. That is what Jesus is saying. The answer is, are you Are you interacting with God through water and the Holy Spirit? If you are baptized, you are saved. So now you're ready for the question, are you saved? The answer is yes. And how do you know? Water and the Holy Spirit. Well, if you just want to cut to the chase of it, just say, I've been baptized. Do you remember my first reason for not liking the question, are you saved? You remember it was way back a long time ago before we did all that Bible stuff. Right? I don't make the decision who is saved, right? That's what I said. The Bible is pretty clear. That's Jesus' job. And I joked around a little bit. I don't spend much time thinking about it. Maybe we don't need to spend much time thinking about if we're saved, because we're not supposed to think about it. Baptism is a verb. It shows action. You are baptized. You don't sit and think about baptism. You do baptism. You are baptized. If you read the baptismal covenant, it's in the prayer book. It's in every prayer book. The covenant that we make every time, that we reaffirm every time, it's all action. Things that we say we will do. Things we say we will believe. But that we will live our life. So I say, go and live your baptism with the knowledge that you are born from above. Amen.